All right. So today's message is called Get Into the Boat. Get Into the Boat. And I'm just going to quickly talk about vision, because get into the boat, we're talking about knowing what we're supposed to be and where we're supposed to go in life. And you can't, you know, find the vision of God for your life unless you're in the boat with Jesus. Unless you're in the boat with Jesus. And I want to start with this verse, Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to wander around. It's another version says, where there's no vision or divine guidance, the people cast off restraint. I mean, you take on things that you're not supposed to be taking on. You get into sins, you get into hurts, you get into all kinds of things, right? Because you don't have a clear vision for your life. But when you have a vision for your life and you know where you're going, you're able to prioritize the things around you. Say, you know what? I don't need that in my life. It's not leading towards what God has for my life. It's not thrusting me towards God's purposes in my life. So you're able to say, you know, that's a nice thing. It's not necessarily a sin. I don't want it. And definitely if it's sin, you're like, I definitely don't want that. People that have no vision, they fall into sins easily. Amen? So my key scripture for today is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And so let's just get into this. New Living Translation is what I'm reading from. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed into him to listen to the word of God. Hallelujah. For the move of God, there needs to be clear preaching of the gospel. Let me just start with that. Clear preaching and teaching of the gospel. It says, he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So we have preaching and we have teaching. But notice some people are in the boat and some people are on the shore. Where do you want to be? You want to be in the boat with Jesus, or you want to be watching Jesus from the shore? You want to be in the boat with Jesus. When he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. In case you don't know, whenever, you know, the Bible talks about fish, it's generally, especially in the New Testament, it's talking about people, about winning the loss. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. Oh, you should see how America is today. We've been working hard. We're trying to reach people. We're just not seeing it. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Like at Easter Trilogy. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Oh, man, that's a good catch. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, because it's a kingdom thing. You understand that? I'm speaking in spiritual terms. I hope some of you are getting this. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. That was a good day. As a matter of fact, have anybody seen The Chosen, the series? That's a really good scene too. You know, I keep talking about The Chosen. I recommend it. You know, so many fish paid for all of Peter's debts in the series. I hope I'm not giving it away. You know. So when we talk about having no vision or clear direction for the church, we need to understand that God has called us to reach a lost and dying world. The moment you get saved, you're already on the other side and your job is to win others. You understand that? And all you have to do is simply say, this is who I used to be, and then Jesus came into the picture and this is what happened to me. That's being a witness. You don't have to be the greatest theologian. You just need to say, this is what Jesus did for me. He has called us to present the gospel clearly and then disciple each person that becomes a born-again believer. Born-again is a term that Jesus used in John chapter 3. It's not something we made up. Transformed by the saving grace from the inside out. Yes, we're transformed from the inside out. That's what the born-again experience causes. An inward change that is manifested outwardly. Every time we fish for souls and God adds people, and let me just say this, for it is God who adds the people. Our job is just to cast the net, you know, or cast the, you know, the hook out there. But it is God who adds the fish. Do you understand that? Every time we do that, the kingdom is expanded. It just grows in power and influence. First of all, so we're to continually sow seeds. Here's another metaphor of the gospel, or put out our nets. But then there's a Kairos moment. We talked about Kairos moments not long ago, right? It's a timing of God. It's a word used to translate into the word time in the New Testament, but in the Greek, the word kairos means much more than just time. It's a special time, a window in time. It could be a season, or it could be a second, You know, it's not about length, but when something special happens with God. Amen. So there's a Kairos moment here going on in this story when God gives us many souls to catch and to care for. And so there has been a continuous stream of salvations, if I can say this, since Jesus appeared on earth. But then there's some special times when there's just thousands that come in. You know, we hear about them. Obviously, we hear about the day of Pentecost. We see them. We hear about the reports in different places, like in California and in Florida, in Africa, in South America, in Asia. You know, the kingdom is expanding, believe it or not. They are saying that China may very well be the largest Christian nation today. The thing is that they're underground because they're persecuted. But they may have more Christians than America does. And that should give you it should cause you to say amen, praise God, hallelujah. God is moving in communist China. You know, I love God. You know, all those nations that we're threatened by politically and because of wars, God comes in from the inside and people begin to get saved. And it begins to, if those people are getting saved, you know, their hatred is going to end, you know. And of course, sometimes we don't love people very well here in America. You know, it's just the way it is. But thank God that he has a strategy to win souls everywhere. He's moving in the Middle East. He's moving in Africa. He's moving in Europe. He's moving everywhere. He's moving right here in our very, you know, home front right here in Sierra Vista. So sometimes it's one at a time. Like, you know, just a pole and a hook. But sometimes it's with a net. You have to bring people over to help. So we as the church, we do both. We do some, you know, pole fishing, and we do some net fishing. But it says here that they pull the fish into the boat. And I want to say the boat represents the church with capital C. I mean, the boat could represent different things. It could represent Jesus very well. But I want to say that if Jesus is in the church, then we're in a good place, right? So the boat represents the church with capital C, not just Shiloh, but the church in general. Okay? And let me just say this boat is unsinkable if Jesus is in it. This boat is unsinkable. It may look rinky-dinky, it may just be made out of wood, you know, a short sail or something like that. You know, the Jesus boat is not storm-free, right? We're not problem-free. We're not happy-go-lucky. Nothing ever happens. But let me tell you, Jesus' boat has protection, purpose, and provision. Protection, purpose. I'm talking about destiny. I'm talking about a destination. Hallelujah. When the disciples, you see it in the scriptures, were called to get into the boat, they always reached the other side. They weren't so sure in the middle of it. Jesus, there's a storm, you know. So then I say, I'd see you on the other side. You, when you're in the Jesus boat, you're always going to reach the other side. You should say amen to that. Hallelujah. Point number one for our message today is you need to understand the church is God's vehicle of salvation and transformation. The church, this boat that we're in, is God's vehicle for salvation and transformation. We've been called to influence, impact, transform our communities with the gospel. Hallelujah. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just another way, right? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that in a second. But the church boat, if I can use this analogy as well, is a sailboat. Okay? Is a sailboat, at least in my analogy, you got to stick with me. This is my metaphor. You get your own metaphor, okay? We're led by the wind of the Holy Spirit. I love that. You know, since we came in to be pastors, we just felt like we needed to go wherever the Holy Spirit was leading us. We didn't need to just make things happen and have programs and activities, you know. We need to be prayerful and ask God, what do you want us to do? So we would extend our sail and then let the wind of the Holy Spirit carry us. Go over here, okay? There's no more wind there. Go over here, okay? And at times, there's no wind. You just stand still until God says move. And the wind starts again, and then you go with wherever the Holy Spirit is moving. That is called living, you know, by the Spirit of God, or walking in the Spirit, as the Scripture calls it. Okay? I want to say I see too many self-propelled churches out there. They have a nice little motor, and we're just going to make things happen, right? You know, but that's another message. These boats were happening because Jesus was there. He was there with Peter, Andrew, James, and John, right? They had just met him. They had heard about him. But there they were won to the Lord by the preaching of the word, and because they followed Jesus, they got on the Jesus boat. Hallelujah. You need to get in the boat. You need to get into where God is at, where what Jesus is doing. Actually, it was they that had to get help from another boat because It's not just about any one meeting location, like we said, we're talking about kingdom. So this story represents how the good news of the gospel under the presence and power of Jesus brings salvation to people. Hallelujah. And I'm saying, when I pray for the lost, I don't just pray, oh, they can let them come into Shiloh. You know, I say, Lord God, I don't care where they go, as long as they get saved, as long as they're in the kingdom, as long as they're going to become disciples, Lord God, send them. Hallelujah. But I want to make something clear today, my message. In order for the church to sustain the growth of the family, because God wants us to grow, that's how we impact people. That's how we win communities and nations, is by the more people that we save. Not just by lobbying for legislation. I mean, those are good things. But if the people that are in the community do not know Jesus, you're going to be hard-pressed to change the community. Right? Because if you don't believe in this, then what is our legislation based on? This is why Satan hates the word and hates Christians, is because we have a standard that we follow. We base our lives on this. Let me move on. I don't want to get stuck there. But so there's two things that the Great Commission requires. First, we said bold, power-packed preaching of the word with conviction and anointing. I mean, as we preach, hearts burn and they say, man, I am sinful. I need to give my life to Jesus. In this passage we read in Luke chapter 5 verse 1, it says that Jesus was preaching and teaching, you know, and the anointing drew the crowds. But second, if I can say this, you need a net that's sufficiently strong to retain the fish. Who is the net? We are. We are the net. We are the net. Historically, has been the church, that the church has been good at catching them, but the church is not very good at retaining them. We like to see people get saved, and we have these big productions, but then we don't know how to disciple them. Not good at connecting them to the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says that the people that were got saved there, when Peter preached and 3,000 men got saved, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And it says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It says that more people were being added. So it's the Lord that adds the people. But it says there also in Acts chapter 2, it says that those people stuck to the apostles' doctrine. They stuck to fellowship. I mean, being around each other, hanging out, breaking of bread. Oh, come on. I got to talk about food every time I preach. And prayer. Yes, there it is. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So when we talk about discipleship, we're talking about connection. We're talking about service. We're talking about excitement. You know, we're talking about persevering, you know, in what the apostles laid down for us in the scriptures. When the people receive it, they are activated. You know, we need to give people a good model to follow. And I say a good model. We don't just go say, hey, go people, go and do great things. No, we have to model it here. We have to live it out in front of people for the new believers, the baby believers, and they come in all ages. You could be 60 years old and be a baby Christian. You could be 10 years old and move powerfully in the word and the spirit. You know, it's not about age. It's about the maturity as a believer. But we need models in the body. So when we have that situation where we have not only power-packed preaching, but we also have a strong net, now you go from addition into multiplication. This is what happened. You know, it just filled in as, hey, we have so many fish. Come on, get another boat. Get another church. You know, connect with other people. Because we need to take care of all this fish. We're not competing. You know, we're working together. God wants us to enter into multiplication. This is when we have a fervor to preach. Hallelujah. Inside and outside. Because it's easy in here. Oh, we're all here about that. But out there, that's what we need to be, you know, walking in the Spirit and be bold and hear what God's saying. And we call it, trembling knees, clicking heels, right? You go and share with somebody, you're like, hey, I want to tell you something. You know, but then when they get saved, you're like, yeah, come on. Yeah, save me a soul. Yes. Yeah. I knew what I was doing all along. Yeah. You know? So this is just step out of the boat, you know, where Jesus is leading you. Ooh, excuse me, I'm spitting now. Woo. Hallelujah. But then we need to provide the nurture and the love to the people, giving them opportunities to grow. So as we head into this Easter trilogy, we want to see a miraculous catch. But I can tell you, we cannot sustain the growth if we're not all a part of the net. if you're not getting in the boat and taking your place. I remember a pastor from a well-known movement whom I met about 3 years ago was telling me that when they started a church, it's a big-time name in the Phoenix area, it says immediately the church, because of the name, grew to 1,200. I mean, they just opened the doors, it's like, over, you know, a few weeks, there were 1,200. But the net wasn't ready. It's a lot of people couldn't be discipled and trained, connected. So the church settled at 800 really quickly. So 400 people say, there's no room here. Either they got lost or they went somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? There needs to be a net ready to catch the growth. It's not just about preaching, preaching, preaching. It's about all of us taking our place in the body, getting into the boat, being activated, you know, in God's purposes. I believe that God wants us to win as many converts, but I think he also wants us to be ready to make disciples. Think about it, how Jesus, you know, taught us, you know, to pray. He didn't say pray for the lost. I mean, he actually prayed more for laborers. Pray for laborers. He says that, he's saying, look, souls are going to come because I love people too much. I'm going to send them your way, but you need to be ready to receive them. It's just as simple as that. If you've heard of Billy Graham, anybody heard of Billy Graham? You know, he passed away maybe about a year ago, a year and a half ago. He reached millions with the gospel, but he himself owns up to this. He says, we would go into a city, and we did a study, and after a year, 3 to 6% of the people that had gotten saved of the crusade were in a church. Where's the rest of them? Hopefully, somewhere. But the worst part is a believer that's not discipled well, that doesn't get trained, that doesn't get to see other people modeling the life of Jesus before them, they become like the worst Christians. You know what I'm talking about? Because the devil ensnares them, and then they go around telling everybody they're Christians, but they don't really know how to do it very well. You know, and then people are like, baby, that's a Christian. I don't think I want that. But it wasn't their fault. It's the evangelist is doing its thing, but the church wasn't doing its thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We got to get into the boat. We got to get into the boat. We don't want lukewarm Christians. We want either hot or cold. You know, if they're cold, we can reach them. But we don't want them to be lukewarm. So we need both preaching of the gospel in its fullness under the power of the Holy Spirit, but we also need a strong net. So point number two, multiplication requires the power of the Holy Spirit. Just, and all it means is like, Lord God, every day having a simple prayer, Lord God, I submit myself to you. Let your will be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. It's as simple as that. I'm not talking about like, you know, I got to go around everywhere preaching, speaking in tongues and people thinking I'm weird. You know, that's just a, I mean, we do speak in tongues, but that's not what identifies us. We give room to the Holy Spirit, you know. Multiplication requires the power of the Holy Spirit. So we cannot forget that the multiplication happened when the disciples were in place. Let me say that again. The disciples were in place. Because Jesus said, hey, push out a little further. Go a little deeper with me. Did you hear that? Go a little deeper with me. Don't just stay at the shore in the shallows. Let's go a little deeper. Then he said, throw the net at the right side, at the right time. Oh, Jesus, we've been fishing all night. But because you said it, we're going to do it. They threw the, they cast the net. And they're like, whoa, wait a second. A miraculous catch. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So when we talk about living by the Spirit, we're talking about hearing what God's saying and obeying. His simple instructions. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power. This is a promise. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Sierra Vista, in Cochise County, in Arizona, and to the rest of the, you know, the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. The net gets stronger. We, each of us fervently seeking the Lord individually and corporately, you know, when we take our place and we make room for God's presence and for God to move, let me tell you something, life is released. What we do around here is life-giving. People can't see it, but it just does something to people. You know what? I just feel different. I felt like something fell off of me when I walked in the room. When I was around these people, something changed. You know, I felt hopeful. I felt there was a way out, you know, from my pain and from my difficulty. You know, I just felt different. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can feel the effects of the wind. That's how the Holy Spirit moves. So as we seek God individually and corporately, I'm telling you, life is released into the community. I call it sometimes the fragrance. I think that's what the gospel even calls it. I mean, the New Testament. The fragrance of the gospel goes out. You know, like animals, they smell something, like, you know, and different things happen to them. You know, wakes them up. I'm not going to say what. But the same way, when people smell the fragrance of the gospel, it activates them. And so that's what we need to do. We need to be seeking the Holy Spirit in our lives. The kingdom of heaven is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the scriptures. So we need to make room for him. And look, I love this imagery in Ezekiel chapter 47. Many of you know that, about the river that flows out of the temple. But look what it says in verses 9 and 10. It says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Wherever the presence of God, there's life there. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything we live. Come on. Where the river flows, everything will live. That's why we spend time in God's presence, at home, in the car, in the office, wherever we are. We just acknowledge Jesus. God, I need you today. Hallelujah. Help me with this problem. You know, it's as simple as that. Yes, you can go deeper. You can spend minutes, hours, you know, in God's presence, but we need to spend time with him, you know. And then it says here, fishermen, come on, bringing me back to my metaphor, will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. Hallelujah. And the fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. There is life. And my last point, point number three, order precedes multiplication. And when we talk about order, it also means having an organization, being as organized. Everybody having a place for everything and everything in its place. Do you understand that? That's when the net really gets strong. Just think of the net, you know, it's a bunch of little knots, right? All those little threads, you know, and strands. But the net is strong if all those little knots are tight. And that represents our relationships. It represents how we do life together, if we do it well, if we're all pulling in the same direction. The tighter the net, the better we're able to contain what God is trying to do in the community. Are you understanding this? So, as the church grows, let me just tell you, if I could just pull the curtain from ministry, as the church grows, the complexity grows. The burdens grow. But let me just say something, our God is limitless. He is limitless, and he gives ways to us, strategies to bring order into every situation. He gives innovation and strategies to increase our scope and effectivity. So we have a strategy. We call it his vision, hashtag his vision, right? Win, connect, train, send. Win, connect, train, send. Hallelujah. Our goals for everybody here are four things. Know God, right? We talked about it on the Growth Track video. Experience freedom. Find family and fulfill your purpose. Every one of us should be on that journey. Now, how we do it is based on the strategies that he gives different ministries, the types of nets, the types of hooks, the types of lures. Everybody has different ones. Ours is win, connect, transcend. We want everybody to be, after they're one to the Lord, to be connected to the body, to go to Growth Track, to find a place to serve, to go to a connection group, you know, to have vital relationships around them of believers that can speak into their lives, and then they can speak in turn into their lives. Are you understanding this? Hallelujah. And if we have order, if we have strategies, if we have organization, then multiplication can be had. Getting to the boat is about each of us taking our place in the net. So here, what are we doing with all these things? We talk about Growth Track, we talk about the Foundations course, the School of Discipleship, we have connection groups, we have prayer groups, we have Celebrate Recovery, we have all these programs, but they're there strategically placed to fill a function, and they all form a part of our net. Do you understand that? So we're creating a Holy Spirit-led environment where greatness can occur. If you set it up right, you know, and everybody's doing their thing, it just grows. The body of Christ, anybody, if you're healthy, you grow. Sometimes we grow in unhealthy manners, right? But anybody that is healthy heals itself and grows. Right? I know some of you are like, what is he talking about? Let me give you a quick three examples. Before Jesus fed the multitudes and he multiplied the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, what did he tell the disciples to do? He said, organize all the people into groups of 50. And then he broke the bread and there was multiplication. Right? When God created the world, he said, let's separate, you know, the water, you know, from the land, and darkness from the light, you know, and this and that. He put everything in order, and then multiplication came. Be fruitful and multiply, people. The environment is ready for greatness, is ready for success. Hallelujah. When the ministry of Moses kept expanding, and it was very burdensome, first Jethro said, hey, man, you need to get more leaders. But then a very special thing happened. God said, I want you to get 70 leaders, elders, and I want you to bring them into the tent and the tabernacle. And I'm going to take of your spirit, and I'm going to put of your spirit into each one of them. So instead of having one Moses, it's like having 71 Moses. Hallelujah. And things really grow. That's why Jesus said it's important that I leave, because when I leave, my spirit is going to fall upon you. And instead of being one Jesus, there's going to be 12 Jesus. And those 12 will go again, you know, another 12, you know, 12 each, and then it just multiplies exponentially. Do you understand it? That's the way it's supposed to happen. Jesus was like the Holy Spirit to his disciples, as the Holy Spirit is to us today. He teaches us, he trains us, he guides us, he loves on us, he rebukes us, you know, all those little things, but he does it in a way that causes growth in us. Are you understanding this? Hallelujah. Look what happens in Numbers 11, 17, that's the situation I told you. It says, I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and I will put the spirit upon them also, and they will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you won't have to carry alone. When we are discipling people, and when we have people are stepping into their place, you know, the burden, you know, is spread out. Many hands make light work. Hallelujah. And also in Acts chapter 6, it tells us that they had a shortage of people to feed the, you know, the Hellenic widows, the Hellenic Jews' widows. So it's like, what are we going to do? Because the disciples, we need to be preaching the gospel. We need to be ministering to people with the word and with the Spirit of God. You know, but we don't have enough time to go feed the people. So it's a, and the Holy Spirit gave them a strategy. Why don't you institute deacons? And it says that they picked men who were full of the Holy Spirit, who had good standing with everybody. And look what happened right there, Acts chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid hands on them. Hallelujah. I just want to emphasize that they laid hands on them in a loving way, you know. So God's message continued to spread. What happened? The task organized. They lay hands on them, the Spirit of God, the anointing on their lives. And then God's message continued to spread. And then it says, the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. I'm so excited about tonight, about our ordination and graduation service, because we get to expand the kingdom, because we're adding leaders to the body. We're adding 3 new pastors. We're graduating, you know, 20 or so people from our school of discipleship that have been faithful for over a year. And every time, and it's not just so they have all this knowledge. Right, one of the scriptures we're going to talk about today is the 2021 vision. Everybody say 2021. 2021. John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said, as I have been sent, so I send you. So we train people so that we can deploy them and make the net stronger. Make the net stronger. Are you seeing this? Everybody taking their place. So we're not just having converts, we're making disciples as Jesus instructed us. Every time we had a pastor, an elder, a deacon, and anyone here to our dream team, hallelujah, through Growth Chart, every time someone decides to take a small part of the burden of the ministry, the nets get stronger and wider. Hallelujah. Where are you today? Let me close with that. Are you in the boat? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Or are you the people on the sideline watching from the shore saying, well, that's nice. It's very anointed, Jesus. Or are you like Peter and Andrew and James and John, seeing it firsthand and being a part of the miracle? They're the ones that got to pull the net. Come on. The other ones were just bystanders. I don't want you to be a bystander. I want you to get into the vision of God for your life. First of all, you need to get into Jesus. Because you know, you cannot go on this journey until you first know Jesus as your Lord and Savior.